Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Everybody, All Pro Lines, the podcast. Thanks for being here. I'm your host, Kostaki Economopoulos, Comedy Football Talk. That's what we do here. I'm here in front of a beautiful Christmas tree. It's natural. It smells nice. I got some weird lighting because there's a lot of things going on right here in this little space. Just do one quick technical thing and then back to you. Man, I got a lot to talk to you guys about. We have our guest, Brian Miller, you know and love. Big fat contributor to the show. Not fat, big contributor. Not fat at all. Kind of skinny, little. I guess he's got some doughiness about him. Well, you decide. Worst intro ever. Actually, worst intro ever I saw of Brian Miller. It was one time we did New Year's Eve together in, where were we? It was Wisconsin on New Year's Eve. And the guy goes, so it's the DJ. He's bringing Brian Miller on stage on New Year's Eve. They don't know he's on the bill. It's my name, and there's no listing for the opening act. They don't even know he's going to be there. And the DJ went on and goes, how about a hand for, oh, I should tell you something about this guy before you. He's a Vikings fan, right? And all the people in the audience go, boo. And ladies and gentlemen, Brian Miller. It's like, what the fuck? Horrific. Horrific. So welcome in. We'll get Brian Miller out here in a minute. Heather from Oregon. What's up, lady? Good to see you. Ron, Jerry. I got questions for you guys, the panel here. I've got an interesting question for you. It's a moral debate. We'll discuss in a sec. But first, I got a couple other things to talk to you about. Number one, look at this. I was going to dance with the shirt, and I forgot to do the dancing. I've got an underdog shirt on, for those of you watching. They're our new partner. I'm very excited. That's how you know you're in business with somebody in the modern era. They send you a shirt. Underdog is a new sponsor here on All Pro Lines, the digital platform as well as the podcast. They are a place where you can make prop bets, where you can go and go, I want to bet on Messi to score Devontae Adams to get north of 92 yards. And then you pair those up. You can make any you can pick any two things and pair them and make a bet. You can pick any several things and pair them and make a bet for a big amount of money. They also do this cool thing where you can actually draft a team for DFS, which is super cool. You actually do a mini draft where you draft like six players or you can play against each other, or you could draft that within a small group of players. And then play in a big tournament on DFS. It is a super cool platform, and we're proud to have them. Go to underdog.com and use the promo code AllProLines, and we'll match your first deposit up to $100. So if you put in $100, we put in $100, you get $200. That's what I did. I got an extra $100. So it's nice. Another thing I want to talk to you guys about. I went to the Chris Rock Dave Chappelle show last week. Oh my goodness. It was great. It was long, and it starts late. It starts super late. And an hour of things happened before we see either one of those two guys. There were two other comics who were good, did a good job, tricky situation. They thought they were good, very good. And then Mos Def comes out with his partner, and they're rapping and going back and forth. Then Chris Rock, which is one of the questions I had, who's headlining this show? Chris Rock went first and did like an hour and five. And then Dave Chappelle comes out and does about an hour, maybe a little less than an hour. It was great. Those guys are crazy geniuses, maybe two of the top five of all time. It was in the round, so there's like 14,000 people there. I was in the 11th row, and I was there watching them. Security has been beefed up. There's no rushing the stage to be done. It was cool. It was really cool. And then afterwards, I got to shake hands with Dave and chat with him for a sec. And Chris, I didn't get to speak to, but he sort of brushed by me at the after party. And there were a lot of other big shots there. It was cool. It was a lot of big name comics who kind of came to kiss the ring. Fluffy was there. And Elon Gold, I chatted with for a minute. I talked to Fluffy for a sec as well. Trying to think of some of the other names. Anyway, it was cool. It was great. A buddy of mine who I used to work for runs a black club, and he booked Dave on his first headline gig. And Dave credits him with that being an important moment in his career story. And he learned how to write differently, and it affected sort of how he felt about himself and the process. And so Dave's kind of, you know, been loyal to this guy. And so he was able to weasel me a ticket, and he invited some of his other friends and family, and we all went. It was great. It was a super cool event. I don't know, this sounds crazy. This might not be something I should even say in public. But also, I was struck by, these are smart, menschy, interesting, thoughtful guys who are doing good jokes. They're executing at a very high level, but it was also, it felt accessible. Like, oh, they're not doing something that's from another planet for what I'm doing. It's not that far above what I'm doing. You know, like, it's above what I'm doing. I'm not comparing myself to Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle, but I am saying it's the same universe of thing. And it didn't feel like another planet in the way that sometimes things like that could and have to me in the past. It felt like, oh, it's smart guys doing good jokes. Like, ah, it's cool. It felt like, okay, we're all in this same game together. They're achieving at a crazy level, but it's we're all in this together. That's how I felt. I don't know if that's crazy or not, but anyway. So that was cool. And I just came from another thing that's very interesting and cool. Krista and I, my ex and I, just did for the first time. We did a small version of it. We did a 20-minute version of the divorce show, which we're experimenting with and writing on and developing. We come out, we do like about a minute together. She did about 8 minutes by herself. I did another 7-8 minutes by myself. And then she comes back on, and then we take questions and kind of interact with the audience. We're trying to develop this as a thing and see if it sort of sings. And the early returns are good. Oh my goodness. They're like, what is happening? Two divorced people talking in a friendly way about what they went through and what's going on. And we both have some good jokes about it. And it was, it's taken a swing. It's taken a swing and another thing, but it was good. First, the early returns are good. We're going to run it at a real club in a good situation on Saturday night in front of a couple of manager types and a bunch of friends and some folks we can try to weasel in. So if anybody's in the LA area on Saturday, I think I just got a link for $5 ticket. We have a code for a discount of tickets. So if you're in town on Saturday night, this Saturday, it's going to be our first real run at it. We're going to do about an hour of it together, maybe an hour plus. So come check it out and I'll report back and let you know how it's going. Let's do a few jokes and we'll bring in Brian Miller. We got a few other people jumping in here. Hey Kyle, what's up, man? Good to see you. Ron Milford likes the divorce thing. All right. I have a moral question that's sort of around football that's kind of interesting. It's a little bit complicated. I think I'm gonna wait for Brian to come on and get him involved in the conversation. And I want input from you guys who are here on Facebook Live. I know most of you are not here right now. Most of you are listening later. and we don't love you any less for that. So thanks for listening. But we'll get the folks here in on the conversation a little bit.
All right, the 2-minute drill.
Tom Brady says he's open to all options next season. There's nothing like getting divorced to help a man see the benefits of free agency, right? And like most every other American man, all of the options are on the table for him. He's available for all kinds of things, except for carbs. I think that's why we love Tom Brady's diet, because he's got everything we could ever dream of. But we have French fries, and he'll never have those. So Buccaneers lost 35-7. They got boat raced. That's what the kids call it, right? When you get smashed in a thing now. That's what the kid, I don't know how we got to that, but they got boat race, which is not common for a bunch of pirates, right? We got the pirate power rankings. We got Johnny Depp, number one, Captains Crunch and Morgan tied for second. The Somali guy who kidnapped Tom Hanks, that's number four. Number three, number four, Tom Brady. Number five, the starting quarterback from Penzance. Is that even a joke that makes sense? The Pirates of Penzance, everybody. All right. Russell Wilson hit his head pretty hard on the turf. He's in concussion protocol. The Broncos are rifling through their warranty paperwork to see if they can return him to the Seahawks. Surely Colorado has a lemon law or something. How can you even tell if Russell Wilson has a concussion? He starts acting weird. What is he, sort of cheesy and plasticky and disconnected from reality? Is he soullessly promoting a brand without any real humanity under it? I think that's regular Russell Wilson. Doctors became concerned when he expressed a sincere emotion. All right. I don't know if it's even fair to make fun of Russell Wilson. I haven't even decided if it is, but it seems okay. He's a weirdo. He's at least a weirdo. All right. Jets running back Bam Knight got his nickname from banging his toys in the playpen. Jets quarterback Cougar Slayer Wilson got his nickname from banging his friend's moms in college. See, that's different. That's different. All right, this is funny. I like this kind of joke. It's a little long and cumbersome and hard to follow, but this is the kind of thing I like. All right. Dak and Zeke got fined $13,000. They each got the same fine. $13,261 for the celebration when Zeke jumped into the big Salvation Army bucket. That's pretty specific. $13,261. Like, what? I imagine some weird NFL punishment czar with a crazy chart. He's going down the row. All right, roughing the passer. Unnecessary roughing. Celebrations. And then he goes across the row, spanking a cheerleader, pretending the Buccaneer cannon is your penis, jumping in the Salvation Army. But, oh, here it is. Oh, that's $13,261. How do they come up with these numbers? It's preposterous. Spanking a cheerleader, non-consensual. Oh, that's a much higher fine. You see, if you plan it ahead of time, then it's still a fine, but at least you're being a decent human being. If you just spank the lady without her, that's no good. That's got to be a bigger fine. Pretending someone else's penis is the Buccaneer canon. They see that again. It's higher, non-consensual even. Again, consensual is important. If there's one takeaway from this podcast, it's be a decent human being in your lives. Ravens and Steelers both play without their starting quarterbacks, which is what I wish the Democrats and Republicans would do. Right? Can we just try new starters? I don't know if either of these two guys would pass concussion protocol, but I like the idea of a fresh start. The Eagles look good, man. They really do. They have more weapons available than the Merchant of Death. We had to do a Merchant of Death cut joke in here somewhere, right? That's the news this week. Brittany Griner for the Merchant of Death. That's a debatable trade, but we should have at least made them take the Russell Wilson contract. That seems fair, right? Brock Purdy might be hurt too. He's got an oblique injury. He's the third stringer. What are they going to do if he's out? Who's the backup to Purdy? Is it not so Purdy? Is it great personality? Is it Patrick Mahomley? These are the jokes, everybody. The Rams picked up Baker Mayfield and immediately won a game. I live in LA. I'm amazed he was even able to drive to the stadium in only 2 days. Right. Baker's the rare example of somebody who moved to LA and raised his confidence. Usually in LA, you go to find out there's thousands of other people trying to get the same job that you want, and they're all better looking. Yeah, it's not as good. All right. You know him, you love him. It's Brian Miller. Let's get him in here.
Hey, hello.
Hey, buddy. What's up? Oh, I can't hear you. Fix something. You deleted yourself. You muted yourself. Do I have power over you this way? Can I mute you? According to my readings, it's on your end. It's you. You're doing it. Fix it. Presumably, I'd want to talk to you. Maybe.
There we go.
There you are. All right.
Yeah, so you can make fun of Russell Wilson. I think it's imperative to make fun of Russell Wilson. I think you can make fun of Russell Wilson for things you normally shouldn't be able to make fun of people for. Like, you know, if he gets like embarrassingly dumped, you still get to make fun of him because he has commodified himself so thoroughly that, like, it's like, oh, now I'm supposed to consider your humanity? It's like, you've removed all humanity from the debate for a long time. Like, if you're mean to Josh Allen, you're like, what did Josh Allen ever do to anybody?
But is it, but are we exaggerating it? Did it just become a trendy thing to see this in him? We didn't see it before. Did it change?
He's a psychopath. Don't you remember he was like a, he even like burns his own teammates. He was like, everybody else is on the flight sleeping and I'm high stepping it up and down the aisles or whatever. It's like, you got to even look.
No question. He is a cheesy sort of unaware weirdo, but is it beyond that? Or is it just that?
I mean, I just don't think there's a there. I think he's like an empty human being. Like famously, Peter Sellers said in a sketch one time, he said that when, you know, he's like, there is no Peter Sellers. He's like, I'm only playing I'm only somebody when I'm pretending to be somebody. Otherwise, I'm empty. And I think Russell is just like an empty pair of Nikes waiting to be filled. You know? Now, he's a hell of a quarterback for a long time.
What happened? Undeniably. What is he doing this year?
You know, some guys fall off a cliff kind of fast. We think of him as younger, I think.
It's not time to fall off a cliff. He's supposed to have five more years of no cliff.
Well, we're used to that now, but I think it used to be more common that people would get worse a little sooner. Plus, his style really does not suit that modified older guy style.
Yeah, he's the style that you slowly shift into more pocket plays, right?
Like, Mahomes will do this too, right? But Mahomes will, I think, translate nicely because, like, if you made the guy stand still and throw, he's just got an incredible arm. He just has all these other assets. But Wilson has a good arm, but really throwing on the run was always, to me, his key move, which Kirk Cousins, by the way, can't do. When Kirk Cousins' legs move, his arms like go to his sides. He can't do it. But Russell can throw great on the run. Mahomes can do both. And so you can see Mahomes becoming a smarter Brady-style passer. You know, a little bit of a pocket statue, and he's 38. I think turns out Russell just isn't going to be an older quarterback.
Right.
Okay. He's going to be a backup soon.
It just doesn't feel right. They just gave him a giant mountain of money to save the team, and they gave away all the picks and everything. This might
be 2 years
from
now, he'll be backing up next year's first round draft pick.
This literally could be the worst trade in NFL history if he continues on the current. I feel like there's going to be a turn in the road where he figures it out and gets better. But I've thought that for 14 weeks now, and I've been wrong so far.
Yeah, I wouldn't put money on it. I would put money on it.
All right. That's a good segue to my first question for you. Money. I have a moral question.
Sure.
You're a thoughtful, moral, upstanding, interesting dude.
In an abstract way. I don't know if I'm moral, but I'm abstractly interested in morality as as other people see it.
All right. I'm in a football pool. You ever played in a football pool?
No, I mean, I have. You know, I don't like do the gambling and the numbers, but which kind of pool is it? Are we talking like a Survivor pool or pick 'em, like a
This one's a pick 'em pool, and it's confidence. It's not the one that I run for the charity. It's a totally different thing, and it's for money. I mean, it's not a lot of money, but it's enough money that you should make good decisions.
Yeah. It's not completely arbitrary.
Yeah. So it's about 40 people are in the pool. Mm-hmm. It's $10 a week. So at the beginning of the year, you just boom, $170, and you're in for the year. That's what most people do. Mm-hmm. And then there's a season-long prize, but I'm mostly interested in the weekly prize. The weekly prize is about $400.
Okay.
So it's a big number relative to what you're wagering, because there's only one winner. So The situation is this. There are two of us who have enough points to win tonight if our team comes in. And she reached out to me via email and asked if we just each pick the other team, if you want to split it kind of thing. And so my question is that collusion? Because she doesn't think it is. And I immediately thought, oh, that's collusion. And I've been thinking about it, and I read her email. She does not see it as collusion. She would never suggest something that she thought was collusion. She sees it as a different thing. She sees it as a strategic move. So here's the thing. In my head, what I'm worried about is the two of us, if we each just pick a team and it happens to be opposite teams and we block everybody else out, that's kind of what happens. That's life.
Right.
But if we share information with each other and use it to box everyone else out and split the money, that feels like we're doing something with more information than all of the other parties have in order to keep them out. There's something about that.
So it's not just between the two of you. This isn't just a deal where we'll split the prize money. It's like one of you is going to for sure win, one or the other. It's not that.
It's the way it's set up. If I pick X and she picks Y, one of us will win.
Sure. But there's a world where if you both pick X.
Or both pick Y.
Or both pick Y, somebody else could win.
And then that team doesn't win. Lots of other people are in play.
Ooh.
Depending on
what
they pick.
That's where it changes. Because I used to run a comedy contest for many years, sponsored by this Republican group on campus. And they would give us a bunch of money. And they really wanted to do a contest, which I didn't want to do. So I got it to be every comic gets $100 for doing it. But then there's a $500 prize for which of the five comics wins this kind of arbitrary contest. Right. So that's the deal. So I would always tell the comics before the show, I would say, I'm paid regardless because I book it. Doesn't matter. I'm not eligible for the prize. I would always tell them, you guys decide amongst yourselves. You can choose right now. You can either do the contest, which is pretty damn arbitrary. It was voted on by the students, you know, and like, what a bunch of 19-year-olds know about comedy, right? I go, right. So in that case, if you win, you get $500 extra, $600 total. Or you could all make the deal to handshake and split the prize regardless. Now there's no arbitrary contest, and everyone just guaranteed gets $200.
Right.
And I would always put this up to the comics, and they chose differently different years. Now, I never felt bad about it. First off, I got the same amount of money anyway, so it didn't matter to me. But I always didn't like the contest element, and I wanted to try to trake the arbitrariness away. But then I was like, hey, if you guys want to roll the dice and you think you can win. Now, inevitably what happened every year that they decided to split it was whoever won was pissed. Because they're like, oh, if I hadn't agreed to do this, I'd be walking out with $600.
Right, right.
So but I never felt bad because no one was going to lose money outside of that group, and they were all in on it. So I didn't feel that was collusion, right? But this, and I would say, so in this case, if basically she was saying, look, one of us is going to win, why don't we both make sure we make our money back? As soon as there's a third person who could theoretically win without your collaboration, that's different. That does, I feel like, become collusion. If it was just between the two of you and you were saying, wouldn't you rather have $200 for sure than $400 maybe? I don't think it's
good. Right.
But as soon as there's a third team that could benefit or the opposite of benefit, suffer from your collusion, now it's kind of collusion. I think it's collusion.
I think it is too. We decided not to do it just for the record because it's a little bit of a gray area because I brought up the concern about it. So it's not something that we're doing that's morally questionable, but it is an interesting question. I think you could see it, just to play devil's advocate. I think you could see it as the gamesmanship of the situation of we're going to play balls out. And if you could call somebody and go, hey, you do this, I do that. We're squeezing these four people out of the conversation. I think if everyone knows that going in, that's part of the strategy. But I feel like there's a presumption of no information for all the parties equally, and you have to decide and game it up, right?
If you were all sitting around a table, right? Let's just say you're watching the games on a Sunday and you're all watching them together. And then at some point you have this idea and you're shooting the ideas openly. back and forth and other people witness it, and then they get a chance to maybe object or not, right? Then it's different. But even if you were very open about this, it would feel backdoory because it's not like a public decision, you know?
Yeah, I remember this came up with my brother in a different pool a couple of years ago. It was the last three were me and Travis and Andreas. And Travis and I realized that if we talked to each other, we could lock Andreas out of it. And we were actually teasing Andreas that we were going to do this. And then we decided that it was wrong and didn't. But man, it was close. We almost did.
Yeah. And also just, I'm always kind of like, I kind of don't want to win at anything unless I win it right. You know, it feels an asterisk. It feels tainted, you know? I don't need somebody counting on a trash can lid like the Astros or, you know, whatever. I don't want to be the Barry Bonds of fantasy football.
Yeah. Jonathan says, in poker, we chop the pot. Yeah, that was one of my suggestions. I go, we could do a save where whoever wins gives the other one $100. That way we've both already won, and then you still play it out for most of it.
If either of you win, if the third party wins, then it's a wash. Now, that's fine.
I think that's fine, too, but if I go, hey, I'm picking the Patriots so that she can pick the Cardinals and no one else can win, that feels...
Yeah.
I don't know. That feels... I don't like it either. No. The more I talk about it, the more I think not doing that is the right choice.
Even though I think there's an argument to be made that it's okay, I don't want to be the guy making that argument.
Fair enough. This goes back to our thing about cheating with the Tour de France and all the other stuff. Like, why are you trying to win a fucking fishing tournament by putting lead weights in your fish, you asshole?
Yeah, now, like, if you were like, look, I need $200 because I got to go buy some antibiotics for my daughter because she's sick. I'd be like, hey, you do what you got to do if you got a Jean Valjean bread stealing situation going on. But if we're just talking about a couple of $100 on a sports bet, it's like, no. Win it fair and square or don't win it.
Yeah. Well, that's an even weirder answer. It's okay to cheat if it's worth a lot of money? That's your answer?
No. I think it would be okay to cheat if you were doing it because, like I said, that you like needed to feed your family. If it was some desperate situation, you know, it's like, well, all right, then, you know, whatever.
So you're back into, is it okay to steal a loaf of bread to feed my child?
Yeah, I mean, right, Les Miserables is a 1,200-page argument, and it boils down to, yes. You can summarize all 1,200 pages of Les Mis. Sure.
Well, that saves me a lot of time because I saw that show and didn't understand what was happening. Beautiful music, though. Man.
Master
all right.
Of the house. Ready with a handshake and a willing smile. Yeah.
So I've been racing around doing all of these other things. I did this crazy divorce show with Krista. It was fascinating. I can't believe it.
How was that?
It was really... you're a comic, and you know her. It weirdly sings. It has an electricity about it because people have never seen anything like it, and they can't believe that there's two comics who are getting along, who are getting divorced. It has electricity that maybe it doesn't even deserve.
How do you structure it?
Well, that's what we're experimenting with. Tonight we did a 20-minute version. We opened with a minute together where we each kind of have a couple lines and then I leave and she does 10 and then I came and did 10 and then we answer questions at the end.
That was going to be kind of the way I would say it would work best. A little.
Oh, really?
I think you need a little unity up top. I think I think you guys appearing on stage up top makes it clear that, like, beyond even just the premise, like, we're not backstage in separate dressing rooms hating each other. You know, we're not making Keith. You know, right. Can't be on the same tour bus. So that makes it feel, everyone else feel okay to laugh. They don't feel like they're hurting your feelings or the other person's feelings. Makes them feel good about it. Then I think you want solo time. I mean, right? Like,
that's most of what it is now. Yeah, and it might morph into something else. But now it's just,
I think what you do
two
is
comics.
You add the together. Like, so then you do the solo time and then together time. And the more stuff that you add to the act that's together time, you just lengthen the together time and shorten the solo time.
Right, if it works, if it sings enough.
If you could turn it into like an hour or an hour and a half show.
That's what I'm worried about, because Saturday we're doing, it's like 60 or 70 minutes, and I'm worried she's going to do her act, I'm going to do my act, and then we're going to do this last part together. And if that's flat, we're like, well, it's going to be flat for 20 more minutes.
It's long. I mean, you might consider doing only an extra five about your previous relationship or something.
Yeah, maybe right. I'll borrow some other jokes that are tangentially related to.
Yeah, because well, eventually, right. if you prep it enough, run the short version, you'll build the end enough, and then the solo stuff will just be easily, you know, modifiable.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's why my original suggestion was let's book it in fucking Tucson somewhere and do it six times and then come back and show people. Like, I don't want to do it in Los Angeles when we don't even know what it is yet.
I think you do a little of what you're doing now. Then you do the Tucson thing, because I think you need to do it a few times to get the rhythm of it before you do the Tucson part.
No, but I think you're right about it. I'm a creature of the road. I'd much rather suck in Tucson on Wednesday and work on it. And by Saturday, it rocks, you know?
Right, but you can do the short version in LA is my point. Like, because really all you want to work on is the together part. So you can do a super short version of it, focus on the together part. And then that way, when you go to Tucson, you've got enough that you don't worry you're going to end on a blah. Plus, I think the Q&A means you're always going to end on a high note because people like a Q&A.
Why is that? It's weird.
I don't know. They do. Well, I mean, you're quick.
It's the easiest thing.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? It's people like spontaneity, and audiences can't always tell what's spontaneous and what's planned. I find that to be fascinating. What people think? Oh, you made all that up. You made all that stuff up about that, and you're like, no, I've been doing that for 7 years. And then the part that you ad lib, they're like, oh, well, now I could tell you had jokes about that. No, I made all that shit up. Like, nobody ever knows. So I think the Q&A is very clearly.
That is true. Okay. That amateurs are very bad at knowing what good is and what you know, all that stuff. Yeah.
Plus, that's a good point. Q&A. I'm not telling you anything. The Q&A is anytime somebody asks a really interesting question that you have a funny answer to, you just build that back into the act. So then you, every time there's an interesting question, you turn that into a bit that you do together.
Right. And so tonight,
you're building
tonight. Actually, I had the luxury of not having done most of my bits, and I was able to put a bit in the answer. I did it the other way.
But that's what you do. The less solo time you do, then you're saving those for essentially the Q&A. You know how to, you know, the old BS lead somebody to an answer.
You're going
to
be fine, kid. You're going to be, yeah.
It's funny. No, I think it's a good plan.
Jonathan here says, get Caroline in on it.
That sounds complicated.
Let the two of them beat you to a pulp. That sounds.
I was going to say, I think the bad news is that you would somehow turn into the odd man out on that pretty fast.
Oh, yeah. They would commiserate on the things about me that suck. That sounds like a hell of a fun show for me.
Yeah.
Glenn Grizzard's in here. Look at that guy. What's up, man? Good to see you.
Do you feel like the audience... do they favor, I don't mean favor as a comic, but like, do they seem to have more sympathy for either one of you based on the divorce, or does it seem like a 50-50 thing?
You know, that's a good question. That's one of my concerns, because on Saturday, it's going to be a little heavily weighted female, and more specifically, female friends of Krista. So some of my jokes that might have a little extra bite to them might sound like me being an asshole instead of me being a nightclub comic.
Sure. You know?
So that's one of the many things we're going to have to experiment and see sort of how it flies. And we've already kind of run the jokes with each other. And, you know, she had a few that she was like, please don't say that, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah, and I had one that I was like, I don't know if that's really, you know. So we're working on it. It's an interesting exercise, at least. I've been surprised when we talk to people about it and tonight and working on it, like some of it really sings. It's weird.
I can see where it's a good concept. I can see where it works real well. It's like anything like that, it's a little tough to build because it's hard. You kind of just have to do it in front of people. It's not, you know, you can do some notebook with writing with it, but ultimately that structure and that format just got to be a little bit field tested.
Yeah. And we've done two shows now where not a show together, just a show where we're both on the show and we were open about divorcing from each other. Mm-hmm. And in one of those shows, it was like fantastically electric. Like all of the beats about the divorce and the jokes and the thing and the crowd work. Like I came on after she talked about getting a divorce from me. And then I did like I think it's 16 minutes. A lot of it's crowd work and it's right off the top. Now, most of the times when I'm doing my nightclub, my nightclub act, that's a cheesy way to say it. When I'm doing stand-up, I don't mention divorce in the first 20 minutes. That comes later. I want them to like me.
Well, you don't want to, you want to make them like you before you like give them some maybe more difficult to process stuff that makes them, because then every divorce woman instantly is like, he's kind of like my ex-husband. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You want them to like you before you get to that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Ryan Chambers. Are you going to tell the I don't know maybe joke? Because, man, that would be hilariously awful. Yeah, it's a good point. That's an old joke that I haven't done in years, but it's funny and it's true and it's about Krista. See, Krista doesn't mind that kind of joke. She's okay with that. She just doesn't want it to be super mean-spirited. That's more of like, that's more what lots of other women would have an issue with, because it's sort of revealing about her own sexuality. If you don't know the joke I'm referencing and you want to know, I'm not going to do it here. It's ridiculous. But it is on all of my social media platforms from about a week ago. Go find it. It's a funny joke.
That's a bad. I always like that joke a lot.
It's a true story.
It's very funny.
That's the best kind of joke, when it's kind of falls in your lap because it's a real thing. And then you just have to figure out how to say it.
I don't talk about my, it's funny, I think people probably think I talk about my wife a lot on stage, but then if you actually break it down, I tell you very, very little about her.
Oh, right. You know? Yeah.
My act is not very revealing about her at all, kind of intentionally.
Yeah. And I have the full range, and in looking at it through the eyes of, I'm going to have to tell these jokes in front of Krista and her friends.
Yeah.
It kind of changes the way that, you know, as I've just been writing jokes for stand-up. Some of them are crazy mean. Most of them are not even about her. They're just about divorce.
Sure.
Some of them are quite personal. Some of them are silly. Some of them are dark. Some of them are dirty. I have to kind of go through and go, what fits in this situation? Some of them are kind of bitter. Some of them are a little embarrassing to me. Some, you know, and there's a few new jokes. I just bought condoms last week. I wrote a couple of lines about that.
Congratulations.
Like, I know, right? I haven't done that in 10 years. That was weird.
Crypto. You got about an equal chance of getting your value back out.
Nice. I do have a new thing about Tinder too, like swiping on, what a fucking, it's a disaster. Tinder is so much worse than even I thought it was going to be.
Is it still existent?
Yeah, it's awful. It is terrible.
I think all the serious people have moved on to other apps.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. It felt like something it felt like you ain't got to at least experience this. Good sure. luck, everybody.
I think every married guy who was never single during the Tinder era at least had a little bit of a Tinder fantasy. I don't mean about like, just about the idea of this like plentiful hookup, like you just, you know, it's like one of those Dick Cheney fenced hunts where they just like let the duck out right in front of you, you know, like, you can't even miss, man. They're just throwing ducks right out in front of you, you know. Every married guy like imagines it's gonna be that. And then of course I've never been on it. I can only assume the reality, probably not as exciting. Or there'd be a lot more divorces. One guy would be like, get divorced, tell all his buddies, he's like, seriously, you won't even believe how awesome it is.
Yeah.
And then like there'd be like a 50% spike in divorces if it was really that cool. It's like whenever you see one of those pills and it's like, take this pill and in 3 weeks it'll grow your boner 2 inches. And you're like, if you had a pill that made your dick 2 inches bigger, you don't need advertising. Word of mouth is gonna go pretty fast around that.
Jerry Oliver says, Do I have the right podcast? I thought this was all pro.
It's a game of inches, Jerry.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
fair. All right. I have no prep. Let's do a few of the segments that we do here. Well, it's a long time coming, but I'm going to give kudos to the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh.
Who were on a bye this week. They couldn't fuck anything up. But they have decided to change quarterbacks. Thank Our long God. National nightmare is over. They're 5-8. They're all but mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. And let's see the kid. Let's see the third round kid who took Cincinnati to the Final Four when he was a college player. Cincinnati's never good at football, and they were good the year he was the quarterback. That's enough of a reason to give this scrappy kid a chance and see if anybody on that team can throw the fucking football.
I always wanted to call him Marcus Mediocre, but he was never good enough to earn the nickname.
It's funny, there was a narrative that happened more than once in the last 3 months that Marcus Mariota is showing us and he's good and he's better than anybody thought and he deserves a place in this league. The answer to that, no, that's not true. He is likable and I root for him. And I think there's a scrappiness about him that is compelling, but he is not a starting caliber NFL quarterback. He's the 43rd best quarterback in the world, which is an amazing achievement. I am not the 43rd best comedian in the world. So I still am saying good for you, sir. You're doing a great job. Hang in there. Enjoy life. But I don't want you as my quarterback anymore. Beat it. No. I want a shot at something different.
He's got backup written all over him.
Yeah, and he has been a backup for a few years, you know.
And he will be again.
Yeah, I think he's a great backup.
He's a legitimately good backup. Or,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
if you can get the 43rd best quarterback in the world to sit on your bench, that's what you want.
100%. So he should have a few more years in the league holding the clipboard. And, you know, if the Vikings had him as their backup and, you know, God forbid they had to play him, at least you go, well, if the team was kind of good, we could still win. You know, right. He's a guy who could still get you a couple wins. But he's definitely the guy, if your quarterback breaks his leg and is out for the season, you go, oh, we're done. But I think that the most you can really hope for in a quarterback, a backup, is 2 wins. Can this guy get us 2 wins?
Yeah, that's right. That's what – I mean, forget his name, the kid who came in and did it for the Cowboys, everyone was like, I can't believe he can win. Cooper Rush. That's what you want.
Yeah, but the Cowboys were a really good total team. Right. And, you know, they would still win a few more with Cooper, but no one would think of him as a playoff threat.
That's right. Yeah, sure. That's right. So that's where
but that's okay. Like I said, that's, you go, Cooper Rush, you're doing a hell of a job, you know? And Case Keenum, to me, is like, he's always, like, to me, my perfect example of number 33. Where, like, ooh, he almost always seems kind of better than at least one starting quarterback, but he never keeps a starting quarterback job, which kind of argues against him actually being the 31st best quarterback.
Right. Yeah, that's
but when
right.
Case is your backup, you go, oh, we got 2 wins in us with a backup, no problem.
All right, you got some kudos, you got some taps.
I do. Speaking of quarterbacks, taps to Baker Mayfield for doing it again. I love when it's kind of a Nick Foles-y but funnier situation. I like when the guy who's clearly not good enough does the thing where he plays really well about once every 2 years to keep himself in these better contracts. I think the Packers have had a couple of guys like old Matt Flynn was a little like that. The Vikings, old Tavares Jackson. Those guys have just enough of a flash, and then they suck for a while. And then they have one good game, and they go, you know what? Maybe he should be the starting quarterback of, you know, the whatevers. And then, no, he shouldn't. So look for the Baker to continue to be terrible for the rest of the seasons and the Rams to continue to be terrible. But for one shining moment, he made that deal seem like a sweet deal.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Where
what
do you
the hell else do they have going on anyway? It's fun.
I mean, they've got nothing to. I mean, they've got their Super Bowl rings, and now they're going to have to pay their dues with all the money they spent, and then they're going to spend it for the next 3 years for guys that are not playing anymore. And where does Baker Mayfield rank current quarterbacks?
40-ish.
Yeah, he's the same, right? He's
a backup.
He's better than Mariota?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say here's the thing. I think Mariota almost for sure will never do anything for you. Baker every now and then will do something for you. Every now and then, because I
to be fair, Mariota won 5 games with the fucking Falcons this season.
Yeah, but was it him? I don't know. It seemed like it was more defense and rushing. I don't know. Mariota just isn't good. But the Falcons aren't good.
No.
The Vikings were so bad I left during the second half. I wasn't at the game. I was at home. But as soon as they, as soon as the Lions ran that punt back, I was like, I'm going to the movies. I just went to the movies.
That's an interesting clarification. I left during that game. I wasn't at the game. I was at my house and I left. I stopped watching.
That's even more spiteful in a way. You know, if you're at the game and it sucks, you're beating traffic. I wasn't beating traffic. I was like, this sucks too bad to watch. I'm going somewhere where I literally can't find out what the score is.
Now, what happened with the Vikings? You're a Vikings guy. Of course, you know, Ron Milford's a Vikings guy. We have a lot of Vikings people in our worlds here, but you're my guy I talk to here. It felt like they were on trajectory to be the fourth best team in the league and get to the playoffs. And
fourth best team or fourth best record? That's the question.
Well, that's another question. But I felt like they were sort of in the conversation for that. Mm-hmm. In the last couple of games, it's been like, right? How much does that dent your hopes and the story for the arc?
Well, my hopes aren't very high to start with. Here's the thing. I don't think anybody feels like the Vikings could beat the Eagles or probably the Cowboys. It seems highly unlikely. They could beat some other teams in the NFC. Their secondary is so tenuous and so weak that when you lose a guy like Harrison Smith, they fall apart. They had some bad coaching decisions, some bad luck. This game was just the inverse of the other ones. Well, they could have won this Lions game with a couple of plays going the other direction, but they didn't. They went the other way. Kind of like the Jets game, they probably should have lost, but a couple of things went their way. I do think it was ultimately what's going to doom them is their defense sucks. And I don't know why Za'Darius Smith is suddenly not getting to the quarterback. I wonder if he's totally healthy. Think they would be better off just sitting him for a game or two. And I think they probably will ultimately do that before the playoffs. They just really need to win one. This would be the one to win. But I think the Vikings are going to get the 3 seed. They're locked in. Call it now. Cowboys are going to lap them, maybe. I don't even know the Cowboys can, actually. They have a weird tiebreak thing with them, but I don't know. It's going to be
Well, they're not getting the bye, so whatever it is, they're sort of in the mix with the
because the Eagles are in the because the Eagles are in the East, so the Eagles have that. So, yeah, the Cowboys are going to get the wild card regardless of their schedule being worse, they're better or worse than the Vikings.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, so
the Vikings are just going to wind up with a 2 or 3 spot. Probably the 3.
So then they have to win how many games? Like when you're in the playoffs, you want to be Super Bowl champion. How many games are left?
They got to win wild card weekend, divisional.
2 teams have a bye. So there's
three games in the Super Bowl. They got to win 4.
So it's 4.
Yeah. Okay. Only the Eagles and probably, the AFC, it's kind of open. I guess it could be the Chiefs or the Bills.
Yeah, that's what we thought going into the season. Yep,
it's unsurprising. For a minute there, it looked like the Bills might have it kind of more locked up.
The Chargers actually looked more like what we imagined them being this year last night. So that was fun.
More fun with the Chargers playing well. I don't really care about the Chargers. It's just more fun if Herbert's involved.
Yeah, Herbert's great. And their uniforms are awesome. And I like their offense. I like they sling the ball. And I love I like that team. That team's fun. That team's easy to like. Nobody goes to their games.
Well, L.A., you know.
L.A. Well, they did move recently.
I like that move. Didn't like that move. Understandable from a financial perspective, but
They were unlucky in several ways. Number one, I just talked to a Chargers fan about this. She's pissed because it went on for years of every year. They talked about moving and didn't move and were thinking of moving and we almost moved and then we didn't and we're staying here and yay, we're here. And then they moved, and it was just like annoying. Like it really, she's done with them. She doesn't even care anymore. And then they also, so they did that and kind of fucked things up. And then they moved to a city with the other team that was moving to the same city.
That was weird.
And that team was really good immediately. It was Todd Gurley and that run, and it was Super Bowl and playoffs, and they sort of stole all of the would be newcomers to an LA team, went to the Rams, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was such a bizarre scenario to have two teams go to a new city at the same time. That was very strange.
Yeah. Oh, Glenn's chiming in. Glenn and I are playing in fantasy. I have a 1.5 point lead or something, and he has one player going tonight. So basically, I need him to fall down the stairs on the way to the field. DeAndre Hopkins. Maybe he
gets like two passes.
Maybe he gets suspended in the next hour for another PED situation. I would hate,
slaps a ref or something.
You know, get a little hamstring pull like T. Higgins did on my team and got 0 points. That sometimes happens in fantasy. You never know. All right, let's do a little quiz time.
All right, kids, put your thinking caps on. It's quiz time.
This I always team... like when Glenn plays a guitar live, by the way. Adds a lot to this. The people not watching don't get to see it, but seeing him play every time behind you is really sad.
It's a funny image. He's got time on his hands. He's available.
He looks like a guy who can play the guitar.
He is definitely not, but he does look like he would be. Yeah. He looked even more so back in the day when he had a mullet, full-on flowing mullet. This team has the longest postseason victory drought in NFL history.
The Lions.
That is weirdly not the answer. Let me give you a hint. From 1947 to 1998, this team did not win a playoff game.
Oh, so it's not the longest active streak.
Right, the longest streak.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. It had to be, okay.
Postseason streak.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's not the Vikings because they did pretty well here and there without winning the Super Bowl. I would say it's the Browns.
Because
the Browns were good for a little spot. A
couple years ago, the Browns were good. And actually, 10 right. years ago, they were weirdly
well, good, I was thinking maybe before Baker. But yeah, like 10 years ago, they had a little they run had
that
there.
Braylon Edwards year that was kind of fun.
Yeah. The Raiders? No, Madden Raiders. I don't know. Who is it?
It is the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I didn't even know the Cardinals were around in 1947.
Well, at that time, they were probably the St. Louis Cardinals, right? Or the Chicago Cardinals before they'd gone to St. Louis.
They moved from somewhere else to St. Louis, right? That's the kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it was Chicago Cardinals and then went to St. Louis and then went to Arizona. They were definitely in St. Louis for a while.
Oh, Ron guessed Browns. Jerry guessed Bengals. Kurt guessed Falcons. The Falcons went to a Super Bowl, man. Didn't you remember they went to a Super Bowl? They were one coin flip away from winning the Super Bowl. Not really, but kind of.
I still get PTSD flashbacks to that Super Bowl, and it wasn't even my team.
Glenn got it right. Cardinals. Nice job, Glenn. That'll be your one victory tonight. Go ahead and chalk it up. Ah! Ow, my hammy. This is a weird one. Have there been games played every day of the week in the modern NFL?
Yes, but only recently because of some of those weird snow cancellations. I think they had some Tuesday and Wednesday games.
Okay, that's interesting. First of all, the answer is yes, they have. And I thought the answer was because of COVID. We had a Tuesday and a Wednesday game a couple years ago. And then, but according to this, these things had already happened. There was a Tuesday game. Because of the holidays,
probably?
Yes, there was a Tuesday game back in the day because of a Pennsylvania blizzard. There was a Wednesday game because the NFL moved the Washington, New York Thursday night season opener so it wouldn't overlap with John McCain's speech at the Republican convention.
Oh, that was not that long ago.
I don't remember that.
I was working at the Republican National Convention for a newspaper that night. So I wouldn't have been able to watch football. I was getting shot with tear gas and beaten up by cops.
I have no memory that they moved a Thursday to a Wednesday because of the political party speech. That's
but it
crazy.
Is the big night. That's weird, though.
It seems like the NFL schedule's way out in front of when the Republicans are doing their speech scheduling. Yeah. Seems like they would avoid them.
Yeah.
Although I do remember I remember going to a bar a few years ago to watch Hillary debate Trump during a Falcons game.
At halftime?
No, it was during it was the same time, and we found a bar that had both of the things and had the sound from the debate on. Mm-hmm. And then the Falcons game was, I think it was a Monday night.
That makes me smart.
And some Friday and Saturday games have been because of Christmas or New Year's.
Sure. By the way, what do you think about, I don't like the Saturday game bullshit this week.
Oh, I love it.
I hate it.
It's going to kind of screw up my life personally, but I like it generally.
It's kind of helpful for me because I can just watch the Vikings at noon, but I would be annoyed if it was in the evening. I don't like a Saturday evening game. I got life going on. I just don't like that they're all on the NFL Network either. I think that's stupid.
Oh, is that true? All of them?
Every single game is on the NFL Network. Now, I get to watch the Vikings game because it's local. They broadcast all the local games. But the only reason they do this is to pitch the NFL Network. There's no good reason for it otherwise. I don't like a market-driven decision like that.
It is interesting that everybody wants their little piece of the NFL, right? You get the Thursday, you get the thing, and the Sunday, and the Fox, and the CBS, and everyone has like a little...
I had it, so I don't mind, I guess, but it's still stupid.
Yeah, I hear you. Since 1988, every team in the NFL has played in a conference championship game, except for one.
Well, the Lions.
Weirdly, the answer to that is no. But
I thought they hadn't won a playoff game. So maybe was there 1 year where they were good enough to get to the conference championship? But
that's what
lost?
I don't. I question this one. This one doesn't even sound right to me.
I thought the Lions hadn't won a playoff game for like 50 years.
But you could have
the bye.
There's a weird stat. I should have had this stat ready. It's something like, if it's not exactly the year and the games, but it's something like the Lions have won, they won more playoff games in 1958 than since 1958. There's one of those kind of stats for the Lions. But yeah. So, all right, give me another losing franchise.
Bengals. Wait. Or is this before? Like
since 88. So
okay, well, it's obviously not the Bengals then. It's not the Jets. I mean, Cardinals? Is it not the same? It's not the same answer, right? That'd be boring.
No.
Okay, that would be too boring. Yeah, has never won. Texans.
That's correct.
Texans. Oh, it is.
Texans is correct.
Okay,
you're a winner, my friend.
Well, not unlike the Texans.
Yeah. All right. Last God, one here. This is really not a question, but I can form it into a question so I could tell you about it just for fun. I just saw this when I was looking for a question. All right, I'll make it a question this way. Were there NFL games 2 days after the JFK assassination?
I'm going to go yes.
The answer is yes.
The specificity, because JFK was on a Tuesday. What day was the assassination?
I'll read you this little blurb and we can discuss. The commissioner made the controversial decision to play games 2 days after the John F. Kennedy assassination based on advice from JFK's press secretary, Pierre Salinger. He said Robert F. Kennedy told him his brother would have wanted the games to go on. None of the games were aired as television was providing wall-to-wall coverage of the assassination and its aftermath. Just after the early games kicked off, Lee Harvey Oswald was shot in the parking lot of the parking garage of the Dallas police headquarters while JFK's horse-drawn caisson, is that the word, was led through the streets of Washington. Roselle would call playing those games his biggest regret. His successor, Paul Tagliabue, would not make the same mistake after 9/11.
Well, and they missed Jack Ruby's interception. that was a real red zone action, you know.
This is all fascinating to me. I didn't know any of this or would have never thought about it.
But why would they play two games? Like, what? I thought JFK assassination was on a Tuesday.
I don't have it in front of me, but according to this, it was 2 days later, so it must have been a Thursday.
I guess. Why would there only be two games on a Sunday though? Were there only two, or was it all the games?
No, it said after the early games kicked off, so I assume it was shortly after.
Oh,
1
so probably
PM
maybe
Eastern.
They canceled the late games after Oswald got shot. I don't know. That's weird.
I don't know. It doesn't say that. Wow, it's fascinating. I generally think you should continue to do the things that you do. Otherwise, the terrorists win, right?
I kind of agree with that premise. And also, you know, sports can be a nice distraction. And I know some people want to look down on that, but like, it's not, people need distraction, especially in times of stress. And so I think being able to watch sports is helpful in that way.
Ryan Chambers chimes in. 11/22/63 was a Friday.
Was a Friday. Okay. Did not know that. I knew the 11/22/63 because that's the title of a Stephen King novel. But
Ron says, did Dallas lose that week? Oh, they did. Hurt the reputation forever. Glenn says, tell a Dealey Plaza story. All right. A million years ago. I suck at storytelling. These friends of mine have much
better. Well, you're in the right
booth. Yeah, I know, right? My buddies have much better memories. We went to Dealey Plaza and we parked in sort of this like not perfect spot. You know, it was like a little bit of a questionable parking situation. We just wanted to run across and get a picture on the grassy knoll and kind of wander around a little bit. When we came back to the car, there were like feds there who wanted to talk to us. There was something weird that happened that we, like the license tag had fallen off or something. And this was kind of, it turned out it was on the, I believe it was the anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing.
Oh, okay. So they're like, why are these guys sprinting away from a car?
There was like a confluence of weird, yeah. Kind of thing. We're just fucking drunk kids who wanted to like, you know, go take a look at a little piece of history. Yeah, it was like, I think it was the anniversary of the thing and somehow the license plate was missing. It was like fucking fishy as hell.
Oops. Yeah, that's no good.
Yeah, no, we're fine. We're just idiots. We're just idiots. Interview us. Let us go.
I've never been to Dealey Plaza. I always wanted to go.
When I was in eighth grade, I did a diorama of the shooting. I had a whole box and a thing, and I had all laid out with the distances and all the stuff. Yeah, and I have Lee Harvey Oswald hanging by his toes to get the right angle.
No. I was going
to
say, did you take a firm stance on the angle? And the now here's the third shooter. Got a little Jim Garrison on everybody.
That's funny. I don't remember it being politicized at the time, but yeah, I suppose it's debatable at some point. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate you. Go jump on the sponsor, get a little underdog action in your football life. And it's a little thank you back to the All Pro Lines community. If you're looking for a gift for somebody for Christmas and you're not sure, try Cameo. How about me? How about me roasting your dad's team for a few beats and wishing him a Merry Christmas? That's fun. Or mom or sister, or I don't mean to make it a gender thing. I'm just telling you, when I do shows, the thing I hear the most after shows, even out of the mouths of beautiful women, is my dad loves you.
That's your demographic. By the way, every time, you know, we did those, Krista, very nice, but that cameo where we got cameos for you and put them together as like a roast for a bunch
of
people.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
one of the people, I always think it was Gene Steratore. And now that Steratore is like, he's on TV more because he's like the analyst or whatever. I can never forget his cameo. I thought he was so funny because he, like, some people didn't want to do it. And I love that Steratore would read. I wrote all these jokes for Steratore about you for him to read. And he would read them. And my favorite part was he would read the joke. He never got the joke as he read it. But then he would get to the end, think it was stupid. And then you'd see him get the joke. And he'd be like, oh, that's a good burn.
So I know.
He never believed it was going to be good until the
every
end of his joke.
Time I hear his voice, he's still on all the time. Every time I hear his voice, I think of that. And I am... it's hilarious to me that he literally cold read the joke for the taping. He didn't read it once.
Didn't read it once.
First, and then read it for the taping.
It was so fun for me to watch him get the jokes that I was like, oh, I'm making Gene Steratore laugh. But I was like, you also could like just one time, just a once over, just to have the beats down, you know, just to have the timing.
It's so funny to me that he didn't read it until he was taping it.
And he figured he could rely on replay. They could go to the booth.
And then I interviewed him last year at the Super Bowl, and I brought this up and busted his balls about it. He was great.
There's no chance. Did he remember it at all?
He didn't. It didn't seem. I didn't put him on the spot, but it didn't seem like he did. But he was humored that I remembered it and was busting his chops about it. Like, he was totally a good sport about it. You were just cold reading the jokes. You had no idea what they were. And then you would kind of laugh when you got to the... I basically just did what you and I did about him to him. It was fun.
Yeah, the guy from This Is Us, like, really... He clearly, like, prepped the jokes, and he was, like, really in on them.
Oh, that's right. Like, he was like, great. He did some homework, right.
But Sterator was great, too, because he would read some, like, really mean stuff about you, but he would read it, like, kind of seriously, because he didn't know where the beats were, and he would, oh. Like, he would just get real delighted at the meanness, so I was like, oh, okay, I'll take that.
I got gigs coming up. I'm going to Brian's hometown, Minneapolis. I'll be there New Year's week. It's one of the best clubs in America. I'm flattered to be there. New Year's comic this year. Wednesday to Saturday. New Year's falls on a Saturday. It's very convenient. You're going to be doing New Year's jokes. Where are you going to be?
Well, so I'll probably be hanging out with you at Acme Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay.
I'll be seeing you. And then after that, I'm Friday and Saturday. I'm going to be in Fargo at the Uptown, the Front Street Tap Room. They have a great little club there called The Cellar Underground. I don't think they're sold out yet. So if you're in the Fargo-Moorhead area and you don't want to go all the way to Minneapolis, you can come see me. Or go see Kostaki on a Wednesday or Thursday.
Or Friday.
Saturday. I'm doing one show Friday, two shows Saturday.
Okay. Yeah. If you're a hardcore comedy nerd in that part of the world, you can easily come see us both. That sounds like a great plan. And then report back to us and we'll talk about you on the podcast. We'll
probably tell you something to tell the other person when you see them, but depending on what order.
That's great. And then the following week, very first week of the new year, I will be in Indiana. I'm doing Terre Haute, Greensburg, and Lafayette. I'm excited about those gigs. Those are going to be fun. One of those is with Jeff Oske from the Bob and Tom show. I believe he's doing Terre Haute with us. So that'll be fun. Thanks, Brian. Always good to see you, man.
Always good to see you.
Let's do one last thing here. Ron was saying, check out Chris Spangle's podcast on Dealey Plaza. Spangle does a great podcast. He is a thoughtful, good guy. And he does I believe the podcast is called Libertarians. Help me, Ron. Help me give a proper plug here. Not be a jackass. Uh-oh. I should know this. I've listened to it a few times, and he was a guest of mine on when I did a thing over 2020. We talked about it a little bit. We disagreed about universal health care. You know how these libertarians are. Pay for your own cancer problems. It's crazy libertarians. But I agree with him on most of the other things. So it was a good talk. We are libertarians. Thank you, Scott. Check out We Are Libertarians podcast.
Called Well Actually.
Libertarians are all over the map. In the old days, they were odd, like what you're saying. They were odd intellectual weirdos. And now there's every possible tent of libertarian. There's the weird right-wing libertarians. There's the weird left-wing libertarians. There's people who are basically Republicans, but Republicans aren't hardcore enough, right? There's a whole bunch of different versions of libertarian. There's people who just want their abortions and drugs.
Not in that order.
There's people who think you should fucking pay for your own libraries. That's not a government job. There's some hardcores. There's an interesting group of them. But anyway, Chris is a thoughtful libertarian. Anyway.
We found one.
We found one. There's a bunch of them. There are different versions of them.
Debatable.
All right.
Different podcast.
This has been on and off. This has been All Pro Lines. Thanks, Brian. We'll talk to you guys soon. Wait, where is the thing? All right, here we go.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.